Questions concerning prayer. It's going to be interesting, but I hope it's a learning experience for me. Brother Wagon said, why don't you pray for the offering this morning? Amen. Next week we'll start the entire Sunday school is going through the same curriculum. So this isn't something I've written. It's kind of a general curriculum that the whole church is going to be going through. And we'll kind of divide it up like that. But I wanted to go ahead and cover something. This matter of prayer, and again, some of you are going to disagree with me on this. You can go ahead and disagree all you want. I'm still right, but that's okay. Couple questions have come to my attention. I hear people say things. I hear people respond things that some of my colleagues have done and questions that have come up. One of my good dear friends sent me a thing, and I'll read this to you here in a minute. But would having more Christians praying move God more or quicker or more people you got praying? Is that going to move God more? Okay? Does the Bible teach that we can feel the prayers of others? Go to the hospital, boy, you know, some tragedy or something. Boy, we could feel the prayers. We can feel your prayers. I hear people say, we really feel your prayers. Do we? Now, I want you to bear with me. I know when we make these statements, I know what you're talking about usually. But I've talked to others, and I really don't know what they're talking about. And they're talking about a whole different situation. And this is where the charismatics will take off and go to seed on a lot of these things. I'm not concerned, I'm not condemning anybody or anything like that, but I just want to kind of clear up some biblical things and help you understand prayer a little bit better. If I only have a few Christians praying for me, let's say I'm a new Christian. Well, you don't have that many Christian friends, and you're probably not going to have very many people praying for you. But if you've been a Christian since Moby Dick was a sardine, you got a whole lot of friends out there, and you're going to have a lot of people praying for you. But when you hear people say, well, you know, I really felt your prayers, and new Christians hear that, and they say, I don't feel the prayers. That means nobody's praying for me. Am I alone in this thing? You see where a young person or somebody that is a new Christian, they're not feeling prayers. I've been on the mission field for years and years, and I've had people in churches praying for me all over, and I've never felt the prayers of the people. Now, why don't I feel anything? Am I a second-class citizen? Am I not right with God? This is the real situation. This is a message. I've talked to my brother since he put this message out. But it says, the husband of a lady in a church is fighting cancer. We can all kind of understand that. Both faithfully serve and have godly testimonies. The pastors mentioned this from the pulpit, and they have had special times of prayer for him, for the man that's dying of cancer. Okay? After about a month, the wife expressed that she really sensed the prayers in the beginning. But lately, he has been weak, And she feels the church is not praying as much as in the beginning. I've heard this very thing before. Now, we all have to go through, or will go through, challenging things, like whether it be cancer or heart attacks or you name it, a tragedy, car accidents, all kinds of things. And these are burdens that nobody should go through by themselves. Yet with God's people praying and God's help, we can get through all of these situations with His strength and guidance. We should let people know that we're praying for them. And we should, in fact, pray for them. Now, let's just kind of cover this situation. I don't know if I'll get through with this whole thing, not this morning, but I'm going to go as far as I can. Do we feel the prayers of people? And what if I don't feel anything? Well, let me ask you, what does that feel like? What's it supposed to feel like? We can't really put it in words. What if I don't feel anything? Does that mean nobody's praying for me? Or that their prayers are not fervent prayers, or they're not seriously praying? Well, not exactly. Only God hears our prayers unless we pray verbally, like in a church setting or with friends. Nobody else hears our prayers except God. But we know that only when others are praying, we know that they're praying, that itself will bring comfort, and we will feel that presence or that comfort from God, knowing that we're not in this thing alone. It just gives us confidence. It gives us that reassurance. Knowing that God's people are praying for us gives us comfort. It gives us reassurance. It gives us that peace that we are looking for. We cannot know or feel when, who, how people are praying for us. How many of you felt that I was praying for you this morning? You should have felt something then, because I was. I've got a whole list of names this morning that in our church that I prayed for. Why didn't you feel that? Because you weren't listening to my prayer. But I want you to have the confidence and the comfort that I pray for you. And when we know this, we know that nobody can feel our prayers. We can't feel how fervent someone is praying, if they're just shooting up a quick one for us, or if they're down on their knees and they're literally crying out to God, and God is, you know, we're at the throne of grace. Boy, I mean, no. You cannot know that. We simply feel, or we believe, that others are praying for us. Are the people at church praying? Probably, yes. When people have told you they're going to pray for you, usually they will. When I tell somebody out in the hall, well, I'll pray for you, brother, I usually pray for them right there. When there's prayer requests being given in the services Wednesday night, I immediately, while we're going through there and while he's going through names and stuff and situations, I pray right there. And then as the list comes out and all of this, yes, God's people most likely are praying, and even fervently praying, putting you on a list, really making sure that you're held up before the Lord. Now, this lady, does she feel the prayers, or does she feel that they're effective or not? Or or her feelings stronger when others pray fervently? Does she feel weaker when maybe they're not praying as strong? Probably not. Can you tell when other people are praying? No. Probably not. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, how? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Now watch this. Let what? Your requests be made known to God. Who's praying? You are. Okay? Let your requests be made known unto God. And the what? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your, who? Your, not the person you're praying for. Keep your heart and your mind through Christ Jesus. It's important that we see this. We project out and boy, it's not, we think it's them that's, no, it's us. We're the ones that are receiving that peace when we pray. You are the one that is praying. It's your requests. Your heart, your mind is being given peace and being kept. Not the person you're praying for. Yours. It's not who you're praying for. The beneficiaries of the prayer feel nothing. That's not what God's saying here. He said, but you, the person being prayed for, is not feeling the peace. You are. You're the one. And there's so much that we're gonna get into as we go along with this, but you're the one that gets this. You're not feeling their prayers. If somebody's praying for you, you're not feeling their prayers. You're feeling God's comfort and peace because you have prayed. Okay? Now, they feel nothing because her husband's condition isn't improving the way she hoped it would. She feels like the people aren't praying fervently. But her frustration toward God's people is really frustration against God because his answers to her prayers are different than her expectations. So if people are just really bathing you in prayer, but you're not seeing the answer that you want, you don't feel like they're praying for you. Or if nobody's praying for you and you start seeing the results that you expect, you think everybody's praying for you. And, oh, I feel your prayers. No, you don't. So she's probably mistaking this Matthew 21, 22, where Jesus says, in all things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing ye shall receive. They take this out of context and believe that God's will is her expectation. We go to God in prayer and we expect God to do certain things, but that may not be God's will. And remember Paul said, I prayed that God remove this thing. And God said, not removing it. That's not my will. So did Paul not pray? Yes. But his expectation was not what God wanted in this whole thing. And because of this, they're assuming God's will is their will. And that's not always the case. Many people have turned away from God. I've counseled so many people and had to go visit my relative. Somebody died, and boy, they just have turned away God. They don't want to talk about God. They don't want to do anything. They've been hurt, you know, by God. No, wait a minute. They turn away from God because they took the scriptures out of context. They expected God to do something that was not his will. And then they blame God for not answering their prayers, not realizing that God had answered their prayer in his way and in his time. We want God to act now. Have you ever noticed when Israel started crying out early in their captivity that God answered their prayer 400 years later? And you see this over and over and over and over. You have Israel crying out to God, "We need rain, we need rain." Elijah prayed and shut up the windows of heaven. And it didn't rain for 3 years. God's timing is perfect. And we've got to leave those things up to God. It seems like the timing is wrong from our perspective, but God is always right. 2 Samuel 22:31, his ways are perfect. Job prayed for his children, yet they died, they perished. God was still working all that time and blessed him more in the end than if God would have answered his prayer at the beginning. So this matter of prayer, it takes on a different aspect. I'm not going through the normal things on prayer this morning, just kind of hitting it from a little sidelight. Remember he said, well, they've been faithful servants of God. Well, faithfulness and service does not exempt us from suffering and death. Several of my colleagues over in Uganda died. People we worked with, people we ate with, loved, just prayed with, and they're dead. God's timing is perfect, and we are not exempt because we are faithful to God any more than others who don't even know God. It rains on the just and the unjust. Both the saved and the lost suffer and die. We see in Scripture that many of God's servants went through great suffering and death. No doubt people were praying fervently for Paul, yet he lost his head. He died. Job, an upright man, the prophets, the apostles, the persecuted Christians that would not deny Christ but were living in caves and running for their lives. You think these people weren't praying and praying fervently? Would having more Christians praying move God more? Well, there are many examples in Scripture of God moving in response to prayer. We see individuals' prayers answered in extraordinary ways, like Elijah. He prayed it wouldn't rain. It didn't rain. Hezekiah, he prayed one time. God delivered him. No indication everybody else were praying or anything that they knew the Lord, didn't know the Lord. But Hezekiah, on his own, there's several instances of people, individuals praying. We see corporate or collective prayers. Those like the nation of Israel when they were in captivity and Esther went into the king and said, well, if I perish, I perish. But she had all the nation of Israel that were in captivity praying and fasting. So not just one individual like Elijah or Isaiah or some of these guys at different times, but now you've got the whole nation corporately praying together and fasting. And when Peter was in prison, and you have the church meeting together, and as a corporate group, they are praying. And God, the results were intervention. And these testimonies, both the individual ones and the corporate ones, they encourage us to come boldly before God, knowing that He hears and He answers prayers according to His will, regardless of how many people are praying. Should we have a lot of people praying? I think so. And I want everybody I can to be praying for me. Why? Because God answers your prayers just like He answers mine. But does the number of prayers or the multitude of prayers, people praying, does that move God any quicker or any more? I don't think you see this. God hears and answers prayer according to His will, regardless of how many people are praying. Now, and I know in some of your minds right now you're saying, why pray? Or ask others to pray for us? If God's going to answer according to His will, then why should we even pray? Well, it's commanded by God, for one. The intercession is for others. He says that we are to intercede on behalf of others, okay? We're praying for others. That relationship with God, we as an individual in this situation need to have that real relationship with God. And that's why usually we get closer to God when we're in bad situations, because that's when we really need God. And we can draw close to Him. And He said, if we draw nigh unto Him, He'll draw nigh unto us. So during that time, our relationship with God, but also our relationship to others. If I come to Moses and I say, Brother Moses, would you pray with me about this? What is that saying? I am building a relationship with my brother. First of all, that I can't handle this. And I am depending on God, and I also am depending on my brother to lift me up in prayer to God. So it builds that relationship not only between the prayer person and God, but it builds that relationship between a brother or sister in Christ, that we're depending on them. That relationship of God's people is uncanny. There's people immediately that I would go to and say, would you pray with me about this? Because I know that they'll be praying. Now, as they're praying, they're getting right with God. And God's going to answer their prayer as well as He's going to answer my prayer. But yes, we should be doing these things. The dependency on God. That dependency. God, when I pray, I can't handle it. I can't do it, God. And so I am showing my dependence on Him totally. But then I'm showing my dependence again on others. And then bearing one another's burdens. That's what God told us to do. How's somebody going to know what my burden is unless I share it with them? They might read it in the paper if I got shot or something. But we need to share those prayer requests. Many times we're reluctant to share those requests. And don't be afraid to just give an unspoken. In other words, you don't feel like you can share the request itself, but you are asking other people to pray for you. And God knows what it is, but you just hold them up before God. Say, God, I don't know what it is, but would you meet this need according to your will there? And then we come to that throne. in help or for help in time of need. There is a real need. We need other people praying. It builds our relationship with God, with each other. It helps them. It builds their relationship. It builds their faith. It does so much. God is sovereign and His will is perfect, but prayer changes the heart of those who pray. They grow in compassion. They grow in empathy. They grow in faith. So the more I pray, the more faith I'm going to have. My faith's going to increase. The more I get other people to pray, the more faith they're going to increase. The more compassion they're going to have, the more it's you're helping brothers and sisters in Christ by asking them to pray. So when others pray for us, they grow this way, and we humble ourselves. And this is one of the hard things for us. We acknowledge that we cannot do it. We acknowledge our need for God and the support of our brothers and sisters in Christ. When we go ahead and isolate ourselves and we don't share a burden, we're not dependent on anybody. We're just dependent on ourselves. No, we need to share these things with brothers and sisters in Christ. When we ask prayer, that we humble ourselves and we show our brothers and sisters in Christ that we need God's help, but we need them to intervene on our behalf. We need their support. Now, understand something when we get to prayer. We are human. I know that surprised some of you, but we are human. It is natural as humans to pray earnestly for a person's healing and recovery. That's just natural for a Christian. God knows our hearts. He knows the desires that we want our loved ones to be healed. That's not wrong. Now, some of it may be a little selfish because we don't want them to live life or whatever without them. That's obvious. There's nothing wrong with that. Some of it's unselfish. We do not want to see them suffer. We really just, we're wanting, praying on their behalf. And I do not think that God wants us to beat ourselves up because we're humans. I see people beating themselves up because of different things like this. And boy, should I have prayed more? Should I have prayed less? Should I have done this? We're humans. We don't want to lose our folks. We want them to be healed. We want them not to suffer. There's nothing wrong with having those desires. I see people, should I pray for this? Should I pray this way? Don't beat yourself up over being a human. God made you one. And so don't let the devil get the victory there. We do, however, need to trust God and understand that His will is not always our will. But in all cases, every case, we must align our heart with God's will, seeking His glory above our own desires. What is going to glorify God? We must remember that God's perspective and His ways are higher than ours. Sometimes His will, and healing means ultimate freedom from pain and suffering. And that may come through physical death. Now, grab a hold of that. God's perspective is greater than ours. He knows. We might want them to be healed, and we're praying so much they'd be healed, but God sees down the road all of the suffering and the pain and the agony and the problems and everything that's going to go on and the destruction of families and all of this. Hezekiah, in his latter, before he died, he prayed against God's will. God says, it's my will you die. No, don't let me die. And God said, okay. Had he not prayed against God's will, God wouldn't have given him several more years. In those years, he gave forth a son, Manasseh, which was very instrumental in destroying Israel, destroying the nation. So God, in his perspective, we've got to trust his perspective. He may give the ultimate freedom from pain and suffering through death. In that case, this is what may in fact glorify God more than their life would have glorified God. Remember John 21:19, talking about Peter, he said, "And this spake he, signifying by which death he should glorify God." That death glorified God. God didn't want us going out kicking and screaming and I don't want to die, I don't want to die. What'd that tell the doctors and nurses and family and friends and everybody else? But when you hear of a dear saint of God, boy, just rejoicing up until the very point of death. Pastor King, Glenda, this is Rachel, our daughter-in-law, our granddaughter-in-law's mom just died here about two months ago, something like that. And when I was out there, Sherry and I was out there about almost a month before she died, and saw her and Brother King, and I'd be in Brother King's vehicle, and we'd be driving along, and we'd be talking and praying and different things. And Brother King said, as we talked and prayed, he said, "We're praying that God will heal her." Now, she was almost on her last leg already. He said, I don't care. He said, if God takes this away physically in her life and gives us more years, that's up to God. But I want God to heal her. And he said, that may be her death. And right before she died that night, she says, God is going to heal me tonight. They had the right perspective. God gave her ultimate healing. What's Revelation say? Revelation 21:4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither shall sorrow," or "neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Ultimate healing. The presence of God, being in the presence of the Lord Jesus. That's why John R. Rice said, "What are you going to do, threaten me with heaven?" This same concept. Alternatively, maybe God's will to glorify himself, not through their death or through their healing, but through their suffering. And we miss this. John 9:3, Jesus answered, "Neither this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him." The years that this man is a young boy, cannot move, can't walk. Mom and dad dragging him, carrying him around. Brother and sister dragging him. They're taking him up here and laying him, and he's begging and for years. Suffering. Suffering, suffering. But God said, it wasn't because of sin or anything like that, but that suffering was to bring glory to me, that I might be made manifest. What do you think we're here for? We are here to manifest God. Whether it be by our speech, whether it be by our lives, what we what we put on, what we say, where we go, all of these different things. We are here in this life to manifest God. And if it be to manifest God through our death, then to God be the glory. If we manifest God through the sufferings that take place, it's not fun, is it? But when God gets the glory and people get saved and the gospel goes out, one of these days when we get to heaven, it will be worth it all. We may not see it right now, but it will be worth it all. Do we like this? Not necessarily, because we don't understand what God's doing. This dear lady, her husband died in a cancer, she does not know what God is doing. Only God knows that. We can't see down the road. We must be careful to trust God and glorify Him every step in the way through that trial. And that's not easy. But with God's grace, we can do that. Matthew 26, Jesus prayed. In Matthew 26, 39, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. You see, the humanity of Christ, the physical suffering, we shirk from physical suffering. That is natural. And the humanity of Christ, he was shrinking from that physical pain. He said, Lord, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But he concluded, as we should, nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. As humans, we have a will, but it must be relinquished to the will of God. So this lady, her concept is that he has to be healed because I'm praying. No, what's God's will? God may have him suffer. God may ultimately heal him through death. God may restore his health. So a lot of things we've got to consider. God knows our needs before we ask. Prayer puts our eyes on Him and off of ourselves. Glenda, Brother King's wife, a prayer warrior. Even up to the time of her death, she was praying for people and concerned about other people, which took her eyes off of herself, put it back on Jesus and what he could do for them. We must never forget, never forget. We learned this in the tabernacle. Jesus ever liveth to make intercession for us. Now, do you feel that intercession? Did you feel that today? Did you feel that yesterday? See, when we say, well, I felt your prayers. No. Jesus is interceding every day, and we don't feel that. See, it's in our own minds. We know people are praying, so we sense that in our own emotions and conclusions. But God says Jesus prays for us, intercedes every day. Ever liveth to make intercession. Now, prayer means, is meant to show or dependence on God. It shifts our focus from ourselves to Him, which brings about peace in our life. When our focus is on Him, He's going to give us that peace. When we're praying for others, He said He's going to give us that peace that passeth all understanding. Not necessarily the fulfillment of our will, but that God's will is best. And grace is sufficient whether others pray or not. Whether you have 10 people praying or whether you have 10,000 people praying, God's grace is still sufficient. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10 says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest in me." God didn't answer Paul's prayer Paul's way, but he answered him by giving him grace. The grace was the answer to his prayer. He was praying for healing, but God says, no, more than that, you need my grace to go through this. God gives us grace as an answer to our prayers. It may not be what we had in mind, our expectation, but God says, you need this more, and I love you, so I'm not giving you this, I'm going to give you this, and that will be better for you and better for me, because I'll get the glory. We must learn to trust God sometimes, because he says no, or he says I want the glory, or he says not now. God's grace is sufficient. God's grace was the answer to Paul's prayer. Now logic, and we'll finish up with this logic. If we extend this lady's logic to its conclusion, and I sat there for a long time going through this, we risk believing that prayers or a greater fervency can force the hand of God, can make him do things that was not his will. If that's true, then nobody'd ever die. Because when we're praying for them to be healed, everybody got, it'd have to be healed. Nobody'd ever die. We might wrongly assume that God hasn't answered our prayers, or that we didn't have enough people praying, or that the people have quit praying, or that they're not praying seriously, as she indicated, which was not the case. Prayer's not about human effort. It's about surrendering to God's sovereignty and trusting his perfect wisdom. God is in control. With her logic, okay, with her logic, how many prayers are enough? How many are too few? There's no answer there. With her logic. How fervent do a person's prayers have to be? God says a grain of mustard seed, but we're basing this on how fervent, no. You see, we're getting it wrong. The truth is, whether this man is weak or strong, getting physically better or worse, does not mean that God's not answering prayer or that people are not praying. The fact is, God is always working. And whether you have a small prayer group or whether you have a large prayer group's good, because you're helping other people get right and stay right and with God and be on the right page there. But even with one person praying, God says, I'll answer. You don't feel the prayers. You feel, as you pray, you feel the comfort of God, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And we must ask our brothers and sisters to pray for us and with us, because it's helping them, it's helping us, and it's giving glory to God and showing our dependence on him. May we pray. Father, help us to be men and women of prayer. Lord, that our feelings, our perceptions, our expectations do not dictate or try to force God's action. But Lord, that we would pray that you would receive the glory, that your will might be done. And Lord, that you would have your way in our hearts as well as the people we're praying for. Lord, bless us now. Help us to be men and women of prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.